Our brother Sam is to bring us the word of exhortation this morning, and he has entitled his remarks, Patience. And he's asked us to read in conjunction with his thoughts, Ecclesiastes 7, verses 7 and 8. Ecclesiastes 7, 7 and 8. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. And let's give our attention to Brother Sam.
Good morning. This morning we're going to be talking a little bit about patience. I definitely thought patience was a fitting topic because it seems like something that I recently was running out of in a couple of my trials. So I wanted to look at what patience is, what it can do for us, when do we use it, when are we supposed to be relying and helping others with patience, and then what is the end result. So patience, what is it? The definition of patience is a state of endurance under difficult circumstances, which can mean preserving in the face of delay or provocation without acting in anger or in a negative way, or exhibiting forbearance when under strain, especially when faced with more longer-term difficulties. Patience is the level of endurance one can take before they result in anger or negativity. It's also used to refer to a character trait of being steadfast. And I wanted to open up with the words of Solomon there. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And also, patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. And that word there in Hebrew is long, can be defined as long-suffering, patient, or slow to anger. But if you look in the New Testament, it kind of gives a little different spin on the word. The word patient is used in two different styles. One, G3114, which is make growth o mio, which is a combined in G116, to be long-spirited, forbearing, patient, long patience, or enduring. But the one that I was kind of was brought to my attention, which was a little bit different, was 5281, hop omne. I'm probably butchering that, but I don't speak that language. It means cheerful endurance, consistency, enduring patiently in continuance in waiting, with a smile on your face, cheerful endurance. It's interesting to note that the next verse in Solomon's advice, verse number Ecclesiastes 7:9, is be not hasty in spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. And how interesting, when we lose our patience, what's the next natural emotion? Well, we get angry, right? We get frustrated. We're at our wit's end. But we live in a fast-paced world that doesn't teach us to wait for anything. We're taught to be impatient. We're given gifts of instant gratification, you know, from instantaneous information access right in the palm of our hand to, if I'm hungry, I want instant food. I don't want to wait more than 2 minutes for it. I don't care if they use a caulk gun to put together the food for me without recognizing the consequences to that. And honestly, we're taught not to have problems, to escape from them. Don't worry about them. Put them off. Don't bear them. Don't help your other person out. Just worry and focus about you. Well, these thoughts are very contrary to what the Bible teaches us. I was given a free gift. My neighbor had the unfortunate choice to move back to Tennessee, where all his family was, and within 4 days he sold his house, so he was in a complete state of panic. And he had no one to maintain the outside of his house. Well, he had this old 10-year-old riding lawnmower that he didn't know what to kind of do with. So I kind of made a deal with him where I'd take care of his property as long as the contract would finally go through. Well, I got an opportunity to cut his lawn 3 times, and boy, I was in my heyday. I loved it. Rather than pushing this mower, it was a 12.5-horse Briggs & Stratton power cut. It did the job just right. I finished mowing my lawn in about 15 minutes. Boy, it was great. Well, unfortunately, this little machine was going to exercise the level of my patience very quickly. Unfortunately, without any type of warning, I pull it right up to my shed. Stops working. Crank, 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 crank. Nothing. No fire. Well, certainly, I needed to exercise a little patience. Well, we use patience in the times of trouble, most importantly, because the next emotion that we are trying to avoid to make careless mistakes or bad decisions is anger. You never want to do anything in anger. We've heard the expressions of, I'm at my wit's end, my patience is wearing thin, and that's where that anger element is so easy. The flesh just wants to use that so we can try to logically build some type of reasoning and make that decision. But we don't want to do that. These trials that we have to go through define us. And how we react in those times of stress is truly what defines our character. Let's look at James 1:3. I want to read a couple verses here and kind of give a narration to my own personal exercising of patience throughout the past couple weeks. James 1:3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And finally, Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So you can definitely see how patience really defines our attitude and our character, especially when we're going through an unfortunate circumstance in our life. And really, in Romans lays out the process when we go through that tribulation and maybe how we should learn from that experience and then keep in mind the ultimate hope that we have. So, there my lawn mower sat in front of my shed, and it wasn't starting, and it was going to get dark pretty soon. And I figured, let me try to do a quick fix and try to get this thing going. So I grabbed the old starter fluid out, and I fire it down the carburetor, and crank, crank, crank. Unfortunately, check the fuel, dirty. Check the air filter, dirty. Check the fuel filter, who knows when the last time that was changed. The hoses were all rotted away. Well, I think it was time for a tune-up, and the battery terminals were dirty. And the thing was halfly charged now for me cranking away 3 or 4 minutes on it, and it was time to get parts. What does it teach when we have to start exercising our own ability when we're going through a trial? How does patience help us in our walk? Well, it builds character. It builds perseverance. It builds endurance. Patience ultimately perfects our character as to how we deal with our problems. Romans 2:7. To them who, by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. James 1, chapter 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Wanting nothing. Turn over to Hebrews, a couple verses in Hebrews, chapter 12. And this is probably a real tough element that each one of us has to endure, but it's for a greater overall purpose. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Tough concept, but ultimately it'll comfort our hearts, knowing that God is trying to work within us. And Hebrews 6, turn over a couple chapters, verses 11 and 12. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence in the full to the full assurance of hope unto the end, not that ye be not slothful, but followers of them through faith and patience inherit the promises. Inherit the promises. So the next day, or actually a couple days later, after sourcing the parts for this old lawnmower, I gather up all what I need to had to do, and I install spark plug, air filter, fuel filter, everything that I would expect this basic machine to then run. I figured it just needed a basic tune-up. Well, I hit the ignition and crank, crank, crank again. Now I'm puzzled. I got fuel. I got spark. What am I missing here? I removed the air filter and I noticed that the engine was slightly misfiring through the intake. Great. The timing either is off, an intake valve is open. What is going on? Now I'm looking down at this carburetor, which I probably should have picked up in the first place, and it's missing a bolt. It's missing a bolt. So I'm saying, you know, now I got to go source down a bolt and a gasket to hold this carburetor onto this intake manifold. But in the meantime, more than likely, it's all gummed up. So I got to take this apart and rebuild it all. Lovely. Now, mind you, I'm trying to do this after work when it's basically trying almost pouring rain out and the mosquitoes are eating at my legs in front of my shed. So my patience is wearing very thin, but I'm determined to get this back on the road. It was time to rebuild the car. And unfortunately, a rash of ridicule and humiliation came to me, especially when I had to admit to my technician buddies that this lawnmower was beating me. But patience, unfortunately, has to sometimes patience has to be directed at others sometimes when they are in trouble. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 14 through 15. And this is where it's really easier said than done when we have to show patience towards others. Now, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all good men. See, it's very, very easy to fall in that nagging type of personality where you're going to ride somebody. That negative way of looking at the glass at half full. An individual maybe can sometimes get right underneath your skin and knows exactly how to really get that blood boiling for a problem that really you're trying to help, you're looking for help to solve. But we have to exercise patience. Well, I had to say to myself, it was back to basics, back to our training. Whenever you get into a problem, you got to step away and boil back to fundamentals, right back to fundamentals. How about James 5, verse 10? We have to rely on our training. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Patience. Romans 15:4. Why should we be going back to the basics? For whatsoever things were written for aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and the comfort of Scriptures might have hope. It's interesting that that word patience was just thrown in there, that through patience and comfort the Scriptures, we might have hope. 2 Peter 1, starting at verse 4, whereby we are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, and they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is an application element to this. Sometimes when we're lost, we don't know what direction to go through, we've got to resort back to basics. And that's exactly what I had to do to get this little stubborn lawnmower running. I had to remember intake, compression, spark, and exhaust. Those are the four strokes to an engine. That's how it works. I was determined to get this little engine running. And unfortunately, even after I cleaned that carburetor, which was pretty much clean as a whistle, no gum, no varnish, no nothing in it, no debris, no stuck parts, anything, I install it, hit the ignition, and crank, crank, crank. So, was it time for the sledgehammer, I asked myself. No. Calm heads always prevail. It was time to investigate what this little piece called the shear key. See, when you bump something on a lawnmower, in order to avoid catastrophic failure in bending the crankshaft, you have this little part called the shear key. That's what keeps everything in time, so to speak. When that shears, the flywheel gets off time, and it doesn't send the appropriate spark to the spark plug, which, in essence, doesn't fire the engine over. So, time to dig into the engine. So I pull all of the covers apart. I accidentally put my hand on the top of the engine, and I notice that it just spins over way, way too easy. Your lawnmower engine shouldn't spin like this with your fingers. That's not good. And with the shear key, unfortunately, in its proper place, I realized that I had internal engine failure. Well, time to pull off the valve cover, and bingo. I finally found what it was. 2 weeks working on this thing, just a half hour, hour at a time, but finally, I have satisfaction. I found the ultimate issue. For those that are really interested, the intake seat fell out of the cylinder head, jamming the intake valve, causing it to permanently stay open. Therefore, I had no compression, if you really are into that technical terms. But what if I could solve this problem? What if I can get this intake valve, I could beat this intake valve back into the head and get this engine started? So it's exactly what I did. I pushed that valve back in there. What do you know? Put the valve cover back on, and sure enough, the engine started. I cannot believe it. Relief, reward, patience finally paid off. I could rest at night for once. But that patience had to add up to something. We had to have a reward at the end. In my little example there, my reward was get that engine running. But what's our ultimate reward? What is the purpose or the result of individuals that are trying to live an appropriate life? What's their patience? What's their reward? What does it add up to? Look at Matthew 24:13. Remember I said one of those characteristics patience helps you do is build endurance. Matthew 24:13, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Turn over to James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. And the Lord direct your hearts in the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And finally, James 5:7-8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And ultimately, that is what patience will ultimately reward each one of us. If we can endure to the end with a smile on our face and use that patience, we have the opportunity of the most glorious reward of the kingdom on this earth. So to conclude, we can see how patience is a trait that can be applied to just about any part of our lives. It's important for each one of us to practice patience when we're going through a rough time or trial, or when, and we must remember to rely on our training and rely on God to get us through it. Patience is just one of the many characteristics God expects each one of us to work on. And the reward of the kingdom on earth is a sure promise for those who diligently seek Him. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Sam, for sharing your analogy with us. And indeed, we need to let patience have its perfect work, to be long-suffering. And, of course, there's no greater example of long-suffering than our Heavenly Father throughout the ages in dealing with His creation. Let us continue by singing together hymn 100 in preparation for the memorial service. Beyond where Kedron's waters flow, behold the suffering Savior go to sad Gethsemane. Hymn 100. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. To further prepare ourselves for partaking of the bread and the wine, I'd like to take a few minutes to talk about the concept of obedience. We know that obedience is a foundation element in God's requirements. We are to obey the things that He has revealed in His Word, those teachings that we hold so dear. We're to manifest them in our lives, in our daily walk. In the Scriptures, obedience indicates a proper response to God's acts, to His promises, to His commandments. And this response is conformity with what God has prescribed, not purely mechanical in nature, but rather arising out of love and gratitude towards our Heavenly Father. It was disobedience, transgression of the Edenic law in the garden that brought about the fall of man, leading to the plan of salvation that our merciful Heavenly Father provided. Man was disobedient, and all the Lord required was obedience. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the perfect example of an obedient son, following his Father's instructions without question and without fail, explicitly conforming to Yahweh's will. The supreme illustration of a spirit of obedience was found in Christ. Turn with me, please, to Romans, the 5th chapter. Romans 5, and let's read verses 17 through 19. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive a abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Let's turn also to Philippians, the 2nd chapter. Philippians 2, and let's pick up at verse 5 and read through verse 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Quite familiar with Samuel's message from God for Saul, and we appreciate the instruction and the import it has for us. Let's go to 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. 1 Samuel 15. And let's begin reading at verse 16. For Samuel 15:16. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Let's look also at Acts, the 5th chapter. Acts 5 and verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. Let's go to James, the first chapter. James 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Our brother has brought us the message of patience this morning, and we are to wait patiently for our Lord, but we're not to be idle. We're to be waiting patiently in well-doing. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let's go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew 7, and picking up at verse 21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. We have been obedient to our Lord's call to the gospel, and have embraced a hope made possible only by the obedience of our Master, our Lord Jesus Christ. His sacrifice we now memorialize in these emblems of bread and wine. We are guaranteed the resurrection should we fall asleep in Christ. And we will stand before the righteous judge. We pray that we may all have the opportunity to partake of the tree of life, as we read in Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Let's turn now to Matthew 26. And let's read from there the account of the memorial service. Matthew 26, picking up at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Brother Dan, would you give thanks for the bread, please? Brother James, would you offer thanks for the wine, please? Our closing hymn is Anthem 47, after which we'll call upon Brother Don Lockard to close our meeting with prayer. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. Hymn 47, Anthem 47. Remember that we're to have a potluck lunch immediately. So as soon as we can get set up in there, then we'll give thanks and